I also welcome our day guests who have come for the day to visit Vilasman, the forest of divine pastimes. Yesterday, I'm saying this for all of those who were not present, yesterday when Bhujan Prabhu and myself had some Leela Katas, yesterday we presented our little research to the devotees about this particular place and its significance. Technically speaking, this belongs to one of the 12 forests, which in fact is the largest forest, Vrindavan, the Vrindavan, the forest of Srimati Vrindadevi, where all the plants are personally taken care of. Vrindadevi. So we were saying that it is in this particular forest where some very, very, very wonderful pastimes take place between the divine couple and their sakis. It's a little bit a confidential place for the as far as I have heard, for Radha Krishna pastimes. And the specific nature of this forest is that you can find everything you are searching for. Now everything you are searching for, this phrase refers especially to love for Radha and Krishna, and also your identity. Perhaps you have heard, you are not what you see in the mirror in the morning. Have you heard this before? That's not the you. Oh, you have a different identity from what you think you are and what you are mostly engaged in. The physical and mental identity, that's not you. So in the Vilasman, this is possible to find. And I was very happy because the devotees who built this place really had in mind to have a place where a spiritual advancement is possible. It looks a little like a university, isn't it? The buildings, or high school, but that is a terrifying image for some of us, including myself. So there are many, many trees and many creepers and so on growing, so that this is not there. Good, so let us start. Jayarathe Jaya Krishna Jai Vrindava
Mohan.
heard a text from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who hints to us that if we can't stay physically in Vrindavan, we can do so mentally in our mind. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that staying in your mind in Vrindavan and then doing Shravanam and Kirtam is most useful. So it could also mean when we are in Vrindavan, but we are with our mind somewhere else, like in our own mental stories, you know, then we are not really in Vrindavan. So I request you to sing and allow your mind to become absorbed in the glories of Radha and Krishna and the divine forest of Vrindavan. And think also of the three presiding deities of Vrindavan, Govinda Dev, Gopinath, Madan Mohan. And from there, this beautiful song allows us to mentally touch a few holy places. And in this way you perfect your Brajvasa. Shyama Kunda. So when you sing this, you can go to Shyama Kunda in your mind and then move from there to all these places which are brought, and that will be real Brajavas, no? Okay, let's start and not talk so much, let's sing more. Shyama Kunda, Radha Kunda, Govada, Kalindija Muna Jaya Jaya So when the devotee sings Mahavan, Jaya Mahavan, he goes in his mind to what Mahavan is. We see, we have this difficulty, we can't understand Sanskrit or Bengali or so. Mahavan is the forest where Krishna and Balaram did their childhood pastimes. So you think of Krishna and Balaram appearing in that forest and singing their songs, dancing, playing bullfights, all these things. Kalindi Damuna Jaya Jaya Mahavan. Damuna Jaya Jaya. Kesi gata vangsi vata dvadasankana. Jaha sabalila kailo shi nanananda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Oh Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Jaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Jaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Shila Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai.
Hare Krishna. I would like to start this lecture in a personal way. Today I dreamt of my own death. It's a repeated dream which I have. I sit somewhere and do bhajan, and a black cobra comes towards me. I sit in Vrindavan, and the cobra rushes with a deadly intent towards me. At that time a sadhu comes and says, accept your death, it's a good death. And I say, Krishna, I'm ready. And the cobra bites and I'm dying. It's a repeated dream. I hope it comes true, that this is not just a dream, that I find my death here in the land of Vrindavan. But then it was an emotionally stirring event. My sleep was interrupted. I woke up with tears in my eyes because, yeah, birth and death are two major things in our lives. No. And I chanted some rounds before continuing to rest. And I thought of something. Maybe the cobra is coming for you. At the time of our death, we are told, this is our main examination, and we are examined as to the content of what we think at that time. There is a story which I once heard about a farmer here in Braj who suddenly was paralyzed, so much paralyzed that he could not speak. So his sons were coming around him. It was clear he only had a few more minutes and then he would leave his body. And the sons knew that their father had hidden the family treasure somewhere, and he had not revealed the information where the gold of the family was lying. So they were around him and gave him coconut water. Please, Peter, speak. And he tried to speak, but he was paralyzed. Say it, said the oldest son. Where is it? He tried to to talk. Finally, only minutes before his departure, these words came through his lips. You fools, don't you see? A calf is eating the broom in the corner. You know, they have these natural brooms, jarus they are called, they're made from natural material. If you, you will misspend all the wealth of the family. You can't even take care of a broom. What to take? What to speak of a, of gold or the land? And this is how he died. His last thoughts were broom and property. Now I will not speculate what happened to him. He was a bridge Parsi, but the way I heard the story is he had to come back and again engage his mind with brooms and property. My dear devotees, Krishna consciousness is a mental training. It's training your mind. It's not about what you can achieve, or as they say in London, what career you can make in ISKCON. This is now an accepted terminology amongst the Gujarati community, who are quite career consciousness. What career you can make means brahmachari, brahmana, sannyasi, guru, and finally GBC. You know, it's not about that. It's about the state of your mind. And for that, some training is required. Without that, you miss the whole point. So today we will talk about this. I'm happy that Krishna gave me this dream. I'm happy. I don't know, such a dream. It evokes mixed emotions because I'm still a little attached to this body. And I mean, I hope it doesn't happen today when I'm at Govardhan, because then I couldn't give my lecture tomorrow, which will be my best lecture, I hope. joking. When we chant, my dear devotees, we actually say, Krishna, please engage me in your service. Now this doesn't only mean my next service is cooking prasadam for the devotees. It means also, please help me to overcome the false identification with this body as being the enjoyer and controller. My dear devotees, a stay in Vrindavan will bring you eventually to this situation. If it has not yet come, it will come eventually. Staying in Vrindavan and saying, please engage me in your service, will evoke the response of Krishna, who will make it clear you are a servant, not an enjoyer and a controller. Something will happen that will dismantle you. You can get a physical illness, which is so bad that you cannot have enjoyment and controller. For many of us who are still interested in respect, you know, we want to be respected by others, there will be a situation where we will be disrespected. I remember once I was chanting under a tree at Govindakund, and all of a sudden I felt I was quite dry and arid. I felt the refreshing summer rain. But when I looked up, my dear devotees, it was not a summer rain, it was a monkey who had aimed his pipe at me and had showered me with this stenching, sticky monkey urine. It sticks to you, it sticks to your cloth. You really need to use the most strongest detergents you can find, which are not very strong in India. And I could see I was not respected. I don't have cultured words for this, so I better refrain from it. I was showered by a monkey. No controller, no big swami, a stinking mess, you know. That was. So when we engage and say these words, Think about what you say, my dear devotees. Please engage me in your service and release me from the service of Maya. This is what Prabhupada gives as an at one place as an explanation of the Mahamantra. You beg, I want to be free from the service of Maya, where I think of myself the enjoyer and controller of all I can survey. No? This is coming to you when you are in Vrindavan, and it is a blessing to wake you up to the fact that now you can move on in your spiritual life. See, in Japa and also in Kirtan, we should emotionally, if you know what that is, emotionally, with your feelings, you should be more involved than just in an intellectual contemplation. You should be emotionally connected to the fact that our misuse of independence has brought upon us unlimited sufferings from the beginnings of time. And you now turn to the Lord emotionally, not just with the head. That my dear Lord, please, I don't wish to go on with this misuse of my independence. I want to engage in your service. Then, my dear devotees, you have the breakthrough through material consciousness, which is persistent. It stays for a long, long time. It doesn't stop when you get a spiritual name. It continues. However, my dear devotees, it is so difficult to give up the enjoying spirit and the controller spirit, because we are so accustomed to try to enjoy without Krishna. Perhaps some of you, now this retreat comes to an end, you already make plans what you will eat finally when you're back in your home country. I know I will eat German bread and butter. That is already there. I hope you don't just laugh about the example, but you understand what is what we try to communicate. No, yes. So you need to work with this one, with the mind. You need to see from time to time your progress, and you need to be honest. It's good if you have good friends where you can exit the culture of concealment, which is so prevalent in our times. Conceal, where you hide who you really are, what you really do, what you really think, and have a good friend and talk with them. Now, as far as the mental culture of Krishna consciousness, this is not my own words, mental culture Prabhupada uses this, I would like to read to you a letter which I can again and again read for my own education. A young devotee, Shivananda, now he is a very old and a devotee, but this was in 1968, so our movement was only there since two years, no? And he had read, heard that we must be careful and not prematurely think of Radha and Krishna. So he wrote a letter about Krishna, about this subject, to Prabhupada, which referred to this, what we call here the mental culture of Krishna consciousness. It is to chant the names of Krishna, and while you do this, think about Krishna's qualities, think about Krishna, in other words, don't chant mindlessly. So, regarding your first question, Prabhupada says, is it offensive to think of Krishna's pastimes while chanting? I think you should know that it is not offensive, but rather it is required. You can imagine this young devotee here having heard since 2 years something, and it is, I think you should know that it is required. One must try for the point when he simply hears Krishna, 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 and immediately all of Krishna, his pastimes, his form, his quality, are in one's thought. So to always be immersed in thoughts of Krishna, this is our process. When we are full in Krishna, then where there can be any chance for Maya in us? So this is our duty to remember Krishna's pastimes. One who cannot remember Krishna, let him always hear Hare Krishna, and then when he has perfected this art, then always he will remember Krishna, his activities, his qualities. Now, this mental culture in Krishna consciousness is required to turn a conditioned soul revolving in the endless cycle of samsara into a soul that again associates with Krishna. May I ask you a question? Do you believe that Krishna is there?
Yes.
Have you thought about your answer? May I ask you, what do you think most of the time? And how well did you do in our little quiz? We must believe, we must walk our words and faith. No, we cannot get stuck in just some philosophical philosophy and not do it. Remember when we asked the question, I must admit it was a little, I didn't prepare you because I wanted to know the truth. I asked you, what do you think most of your time? And I heard later, it was a I heard later, not Krishna was very rarely mentioned. And what do you think will solve the problems you have at the moment? Very rarely the answer is Krishna. My dear devotees, we have to see how will I think of Krishna, not theoretically, practically. And this gradual learning to remember, there is a traditional process how you can come to this. It doesn't happen just like this, because as long as the mind is not so pure, it will think of impure thoughts. It's unavoidable. So Bhaktisiddhanta, this is in the Nectar of Instruction, in the purport to text 8. In the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This means hearing about Krishna, This is called Shravana Dasha, the stage of hearing. Now, by constantly hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna and hearing of his transcendental form and qualities and pastimes, one can attain to the stage of acceptance called Varana Dasha. You, on this stage, my dear devotees, your conscious mind and even the major part of your unconscious mind, that which you don't have immediate control over, if you have drowned or drenched your personality in Krishna Katha, you will actually be fully convinced, consciously and subconsciously, that Krishna is everything. When one attains this stage, he actually becomes attached to hearing more of Krishna Katha. And then, when one chants in ecstasy and attains the stage of Smarana Vashta, the stage of what? Remembering. A very good word, remembering is one word, reminiscing. You relish thinking of Krishna. It comes after you have really worked on this. I would like to give you an example. At the moment, our consciousness is like, this cup, it is turned away from Krishna. You can't perhaps see it so well. This is the bottom of the cup. It goes up. And if I put water in it, this is the result. Why do you laugh? This is sad. You should cry. This is what happens to most of us when we hear Krishna Katha. It goes not inside because of our absent-mindedness, absent to Krishna. It goes in one ear and out of the other. If I would ask you, what did Burijan Prabhu yesterday talk about? Give me an exact report of all the things. Most of you will say, it was about Krishna something. This is because we are averse to Krishna. It's a grave problem. So it is said, when there is a lot of Krishna Katha, this is what we hear about, which comes and comes and comes, like the monsoon, something will happen. When you put a glass in the monsoon, it turns the cup around. Yes, and then the water goes inside and doesn't go away. This correction of the mind. Now you don't laugh. Why don't you laugh? Hare Krishna. This is the process here. If one hears a lot, one will accept this. This is, and it comes to the stage where one is actually in ecstasy about it, and one remembers this all the time. I have this sometimes. I like melodies, you know, by my musical inclination. It was always like this. I was a violin player, so I have a soft ear for melodies. When I like melodies so much that I remember them, good melodies and the Hare Krishna mantra, it goes on. Not because I'm so attached to chanting Hare Krishna, no, I'm a melody man, and so on. But that helps to go into this, come to this stage. This is required somehow or other. One must try for the point, says Prabhupada, where one remembers Krishna. It's a mental culture. It's something very serious, my dear devotees. And then there are different stages which Prabhupada brings of Krishna Smaranam. It starts with a little, you know, you forcefully remember Krishna, you direct your mind, and then it goes to deeper and deeper stages. At first, the remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted at intervals, but later, remembrance proceeds uninterrupted. Can you imagine this? When have you ever had a remembrance of someone that was uninterrupted? It's an interesting question, no? I can relate to you. There was once a devotee, he has died, unfortunately, during COVID, but his whole purpose seemed to be to slander me. He put things in the internet, and I'm not an internet man. You can't believe. Then he unfortunately caught COVID, and he told his wife, please, please, please take this content away from the internet. It is not good for my future journey, you know. And it's now, I'm not an internet person, as you know, but at that time I was remembering because I couldn't defend myself. I didn't want to go on the internet, nor do I have the ability to open a computer to make it work. And I don't want to learn this. I think it's that civilization goes in the wrong direction with all this. But that's a personal thing. But I remember I was constantly thinking of him. How can he say such a thing? Has he never listened to a lecture which I give? Has he not seen my service? Well, how can he? This is not fair. And I was thinking. And then when I noticed my mind was so occupied with this slander on the internet that I thought, wait a minute, Sachinanda Swami, have you learned zero in Krishna consciousness? It's about a mental culture, no? But do you want to think about the others and how they have their difficulties or what they're... Don't you want to remember Krishna? But it was not so easy at that time. Then he died, this person. And my first reaction was relief. But then I said, again, have you not learned even anything, Sachinanda Swami? It's good if someone slanders you. Welcome it, because that cuts at the root of your disease to be the enjoyer and controller. Why do you think so differently from spiritual life? And so on. No? Yeah. When the remembrance, however, is uninterrupted of Krishna, it becomes concentrated, and it is called meditation. And when the meditation expands and becomes constant, it is called anusmriti. By uninterrupted and unceasing anusmriti, one enters the stage of samadhi or spiritual trance. And it goes to higher and higher states. You could read this if you want in the nectar of the remember. I think if we get too much subjects which are not yet relevant to us, we might forget. So, now we want to hear about the mental culture of Krishna consciousness. In this little book, Sri Braj Vilasstava, Raghunath Goswami goes in his mind through the Aprakat Vrindavan, the Vrindavan that is described in the Bhagavatam and so on, you know, the place where every step is a dance, where we can hear, where Krishna is always playing on his flute and hearing it. And he enters through this uninterrupted meditation, which we have heard about, and he sees in his samadhi different things and writes that down. And one thing which we would like to hear today is he sees the lotus feet of Vrinda Devi. Pratina vanava kunjam. What was it? Pratina vanava kunjam prema pure na puna. Something. Prachura surabhi pushpa bhushayitva kramena. It's not the right meter. Pratina vanava kunjam prema purena puna prachura surabhi pushpa bhushayitva kramena pranayati vata Vrinda tatra lilotsa vamya. It's also not the right meter. Priyagana vritta radha krishna yostam papati. I take shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Vrinda, who's fully absorbed in the mellows of ecstatic love. Vrinda Devi's fully absorbed. She's in samadhi, you know, in the mellows of ecstatic love. She expands the blissful pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Krishna as they are surrounded by the gopis by decorating the groves of Vrindavan with an abundance of fragrant flowers. So this is the meditation about Vrinda Devi. She's in charge of the forests of Vrindavan. And to give pleasure to the divine couple, she decorates the forest with different flower-bearing creepers that wind up at the trees. She plants trees in a type of arrangement, you know, that makes a tree house. Tree houses are of two kinds. One are in the trees. That's what we do as children in North Germany. We build a house in the trees. But Vrinda Devi's tree houses are of a different nature. She plants trees in such a way that they form rooms, often round rooms, beautiful flowers, and beds and tables and verandas and so on. And she's assisted in this process by her girlfriends, the Vana Devis, they are called. Please say Vana Devi. Yes, exactly. These are goddesses, so to say, Devis, who just like her, who is a goddess, she's not a normal person, decorated. They go around and make this personally very good. Then it is said by Vrinda Devi, about Vrinda Devi, what is her complexion? She has a complexion that is enchanting as molten gold. We hear many of the associates of Radha and Krishna have the a complexion of molten gold. Now Radha's complexion is also of molten gold, but of molten gold, molten many times over. I don't know if this makes sense in English, and that it means this takes a little, just slightly reddish complexion. You know, it's very interesting color. And Vrinda Devi also has the complexion that is as enchanting as molten gold. It's slightly red. Who's talking there? Rake, Rajesh, no talking. Her sari is blue. she has a flower garland, and she has a necklace of shining pearls. That's a very nice contrast to the blue dress. She has parrots that are flying all over Vrindavan and giving her all the information she needs to make Radha and Krishna meet. For instance, some of the parrots will fly almost like your drones, you know? And you know these drones, these new, and not so new, but... And she comes, these parrots come and find Radha here and Krishna there. They talk, who are searching for each other. And now they come and give the information to Vrinda Devi, and Vrinda Devi then comes and guides Radha to meet Krishna. Now, we can imagine it a little from an image we use in this world. When a pujari wants to open the deities for darshan, what he will do is he will make the altar room very fragrant. I know in Germany our pujaris always burn a lot of frankincense, and it's a really a billowing cloud of incense because the Lord enjoys like this. And then when the altar opens, clouds waver from the altar. So very nice. The pujaris keep the temple fragrant with aguru. That's a particular wood which has a raisin. A raisin is Harz in German language. When you burn it, it crackles. But it makes a very nice fragrant thing. And she keeps the kunjas fragrant and decorated in ever new ways. She even puts inspiring paintings up on the wall of the kunjas. Many times these paintings are evoking loving feelings in Radha and Krishna. All this is done with a loving heart, because she knows the deity of my heart will come and play here. It's almost like you say a dear guest comes who you have not met the person since 1 year because life brought you on different continents, but he comes now. Then you will put your living room in good order. You will put all the untidiness away, the half-eaten energy bars you will throw finally in the garbage can, you know, and you will make everything very nice to receive the Lord, not the Lord, the guest. So in this way, Vrinda Devi makes everything fragrant. She is one of, don't remember, so and so many messengers also, because she carries messages and brings Radha and Krishna together. I will tell you a little pastime. Krishna was once eagerly waiting for Srimati Radharani at the banks of Radhakund. And Radha had heard the news that Krishna is there and set out on an abhisar. It's called a love journey. You know, she had Krishna in her heart and so on. As she walks, my dear devotees, the brilliance of her form, you know, the light emanating from her form, spreads through the forest of Vrindavan. But and it is followed by another very attractive feature of Srimati Radharani, her fragrance that also pervades the forest. And now Krishna sits there at the bank and is so eager in his anticipation to see Radha. At that moment, Vrindadevi comes, he calls Vrindadevi, I'm sorry. He says to Vrindadevi, Vrindadevi is always there in the forest. You can always call her Vrindadevi, and she's immediately there because she's the goddess of the forest. These goddesses are not dependent on distance. They are other dimensional entities, you know. So Krishna called Vrinda and said, Vrinda, can you bring Radha here and tell her exactly the spot? And Vrindadevi quickly goes and meets Radha. At that time, a beautiful conversation between Radharani and Vrinda ensues, which we find it's quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Radha sees the goddess of the forest, Vrinda, coming and asked, Oh my beloved friend Vrinda, where are you coming from at this moment? And Vrinda answers, I'm coming from the feet of Sri Hari. Radha then asks, where is he? And Vrinda says, in the forest on the bank of Radhakund. Tell me, says Radha, what is he doing there? And Vrindadevi answers, he's learning dancing. Now, when you learn dancing, you need a dance teacher who says, go like this, go like that. And Radharani is curious to know who's his dancing master. And listen to the beautiful answer of Vrindadevi. Vrindadevi says, upon the question, who is Krishna's dancing master? Your image, Radha, revealing itself in every tree and every creeper in every direction. This image is roaming like a skillful dancer, making him dance behind. Can you imagine Krishna just dancing in ecstasy? Why? See, he sees the creepers of the forest as Radharani's tresses of hair. He sees different features of the forest as Radharani. And because he looks through the eyes of love, he sees it in a loving way, only in a way in which a romantic hero, they are called a person who is in romance, sees. And I don't feel qualified to say exactly how he sees the forest, but just maddened with love, he is dancing like this. Radharani is, of course, more than satisfied. We hear in one Leela that once Krishna came actually to Radha and asked her to show her some dancing steps. Dance is a great art. But Radha denied and said, no, I cannot teach you dancing because I do not know what you will do when you perfect the art. Maybe you will enchant others. So Radharani, so Krishna, wanted really to learn dancing. And what Radharani noticed that whenever she met him and there was a chance to dancing, Krishna's dancing had improved. So one day she asked Vrindadevi, I mean, he's learning dancing from somewhere. And Vrindadevi said, I will show you how he learns dancing. So they came to a kunja, that is a secluded area in the forest, and they saw Krishna going like, dancing. And, you know, that means with the feet. gestures and all this is very good, good art, very good art. Expressing many sentiments and feelings through the art. You can ask dancers. We have Jagannath amongst us. He knows how to dance very beautifully. There are a few things you might like to learn about this art. It's a devotional art, no? To dance for the pleasure of Krishna is one of the items of deity worship, actually, told in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Krishna was making these complicated, intricate steps, and Radha was looking through the foliage, you know, through the... Who's his teacher? And then her eyes fell on something so beautiful, the tears of love came in her eyes. She saw that Krishna had made with his own hand from the mud a form of Radharani and dressed the form with everything, Chandrika, everything. Sorry. It was the dancing. He was remembering Radha, and that was the teacher. Like also in this verse, no? That your image reflected in every tree is a dancing teacher. Does this remind you of someone who learned from an image? Mahabharata? Ekalavya, yes. You can, if you connect in your mind with your teacher, you will learn many things. That's how, when we, Prabhupada has now disappeared from our mundane vision, but if we read his literature and try to understand it with our mind, a lot of teachings flood into our heart. No, it is learning by Vani, not by Vapu. No? So Krishna does this also. My dear devotees, I want to end this presentation now by giving you really something that comes from, I actually don't want to say these things which are a little personal in a public lecture. It's not the proper place to say. Let me approach this differently. Have you noted in Burijam Prabhu's presentations about yesterday was Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Lord Chaitanya would again and again go to verses and relish these verses? Have you noted that? Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Badayate or Jayati Jayati Jananivaso at the beginning of the Ratha Yatra. Have you noted that? He is the Lord Chaitanya and he quotes verses. What is that? Is he trying to make his Bhakti Shastri and remembering some verses? No, my dear devotees. There is a technique, very authorized technique, where you meditate on verses, and as you meditate upon them, they will take a life on their own in your heart. I had an example in one of the Holy Name immersion retreats of a verse from Rupa Goswami where it is stated how Radharani's hair defeats the beauty of the spread out feathers of a peacock and how her cheek is slightly reddish on one spot. No? So when you hear these verses and you meditate about them, you might in your mind's eye see what this means. Radha is at the Govardhan Hill or somewhere else, and a peacock comes out. The peacocks are very proud of their plumage. Not so much now, at this time. Pride is a little decimated because they lose their plumage. Plumage, do you understand this word? It means feathers at the beginning of the winter. So their pride is a little reduced, but usually they are. So a peacock comes and Radha's hair is spread out because she is together with Krishna in a loving being together lovingly. And so the peacock sees the beauty of Radha's hair, and he looks at his peacock feathers, but they are not at all beautiful. I thought they are beautiful, but in comparison, nothing, no beauty. And he runs back and hides, totally defeated. So you read the verse, and then you do what is called a verse meditation. And I would like to present to you a very good verse for this verse meditation, which you will find in the 10th canto, 21st verse. Tenth canto, 21st chapter, verse 5. Can I read it to you?
Kapisham Vaijajantim Chamalam Randran Veno Adara Sudaya Purayan Gopavrinde Vrindaranyam Swapada Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti.
I heard this verse consciously for the first time after having done something really foolish. I went to Rudra Prayag, where two arms of the Ganga meet. We had a Himalaya pilgrimage with a few devotees. And there was iron railing. So you were supposed to stay within the iron railing because of the swift current. But I was so proud. I thought, this is for Indians. Indians cannot swim, which is a fact. Most of them can't swim. They have to learn it carefully. I mean, now modern Indians can do this, but previously the thought was, this is not for human water to swim in water. This is for machlis, for fishes, not for human beings. So many older generation Indians are not capable of swimming, which is no problem at all. So I had gone out beyond the railing, because I thought, well, we are from the ocean, we swim like anything. But this was such a strong current that it just pulled me so quickly. I was totally surprised. And by Krishna's mercy, it somehow banged me against the other side of the railing, and I bleeded a lot when I came out, but I was not swept into the ocean, which was good. Do I make sense? No? Yes? Middle? Good. So I came out bleeding, and there was this Brahmana who laughed at me. He knew. A foolish Westerner. And he sat down, and then he started to chant verses and do some some you know, with the Ajman pot, some puja related thing. And he chanted this verse, Baha pidam natavara vapu kana yogani karam. It was so beautiful how he chanted it. And I looked it up, I wrote down the first thing. I looked it up later, I wrote down the first word, and I found it's a very beautiful verse. Then I found in the Nectar of Devotion later that this is the meditation of the gopis when Krishna enters the forest. Mind you, Krishna will now Krishna will now remove himself of the association of the those who live in the village Vrindavan, and he goes into the forest with the cows, and the trees will close after him, and the gopis don't see him. So here is the verse, how they meditate about him. Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue Karnikara flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaidyajanti garland. How many flowers are in the types of flowers are in the Vaidyajanti garland? Five, good. Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendent form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. Now, if we hear such a verse, I can see in some of my audience, you look down, you most probably, like me, cannot get so many words at once and digest it. So if you want to meditate about it, you need to take it in bits and pieces. So the first is Krishna enters the Vrindavan forest. Then he's beautiful with a peacock feather ornament on his head. Then he exhibits a very attractive dance pose. He dances. Then he has wonderful Karnikara flowers that rest on his ears, they're like here. Sometimes you can see this it's a typical female way of decorating oneself. It is seen in Hawaii and other such cultures, and also in South India, in India in general. He wears very beautiful garments, brilliant as gold. He has a Vaidyajanti garland. And what I like very much, he fills the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips. Flute is full. He beautifies the ground with the marks of his footprints. Do you know some marks on Krishna's footprints? I can't understand from so far. There's a fish, someone said. Elephant goat. Pancharatna Prabhu, you said something? It's goat, you said. For controlling the wild elephant of the mind of the meditating devotee. Chakra. I'm sorry? A line, upward bending line is going up on one of them. Yeah? Lotus is there, yes.
Barley corn.
A barley corn, wow, yes. So this and other such marks are there on the feet of the Lord, and they get imprinted in the dust of Vrindavan. Perhaps you remember too, lotus flower? And what else do you like? Tell me. Vraja, lightning. Very good images. Lotus flower and lightning. Very good images. Let us stay with these. And he is accompanied by cowherd boys who sing his glories. Now, we need to take this and put it into a practice. If it is only a mental understanding of meditation and Krishna consciousness, it won't really satisfy the soul and purify the heart. It will not do that. So we will now do this, turn this into a practice. Not like the gopi, this is an authorized meditation, and we will do this. I request you to sit erect or straight in a straight line. And we will have some sound also. I would say the Mayapur melody. Good. So this we will take. We just need to prepare this a little. What do you like for your meditation? A sharp. Why not take A sharp? No, that is very good. It's soothing. No. Can we go with A sharp on this? Yeah, oh good. I pretend I know music. I don't know. It's easy to read from here. It's not that I know anything about this. We will sing first, and we will try to bring our mind to each syllable, and then we will start the meditation. It will be very beautiful. You will like very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Is it offensive to think of Krishna's pastimes while chanting? Prabhupada answers, I think you should know that it is required. One must try for the point. When he simply hears Krishna, and immediately all of Krishna, his pastimes, his form, his quality are in his thoughts. One must try for that point. Try your best, please. we all have seen images of Krishna, deities, pictures. So this Krishna enters the Vrindavan forest. There's a beautiful peacock feather on his head. It trembles slightly in the wind. As a supreme dancer, he exhibits a very attractive dance pose. Very attractive dance pose. Perhaps one of his legs is a little raised and the dhoti slips a little from the ankle. A wonderful Kanikara flowers, yellow or bluish also, rests on his ear. How is he dressed? He wears very beautiful garments, brilliant as gold. His dhoti, there is a scarf around his neck hanging down. Around his neck, beautifully, hangs a Vaidyajanti garland with forest flowers and also tulsis. And what does he do? He fills the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips. So he takes the flute, perhaps it was previously stuck in the sash which he wears on the waist. Now he has taken it out, the flute. He has put it to the lips. He had looked to the side, attracting attention from his cowherd boyfriends. And now he fills the flute, with the nectar of his lips. He beautifies the ground with the marks of his footprints. There were two marks which we were fixing in our mind. Two marks. Perhaps we can remember these two marks which we have fixed at the beginning of the meditation. If we can't, don't worry. Time will come where this will automatically come. Is he alone? No. He's accompanied by the cowherd boys who sing his glories. Nanda Yashoda Dula. They may sing like this. Girita Varadhari Gopa. So we chant now and we try to reminisce, to bring one of these altogether 9 meditational prompts in our mind. Something which attracts you. Was it perhaps the marks that Krishna leaves in the dust of Vrindavan? Or was it the Kanikara flower that rests on his ear? Or are you perhaps liking so much when Krishna is in the attractive dancing pose? Or are you more a person who is interested with whom he is together, the accompaniment of his cowherd boys? Try to be with one of these images as they are given in this verse. Oh.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jaya Radha, Shyam Sundara Radha, Shyam Sundara Radha, Shyam Sundara Radha. I go. Jaya Radha, Shyam Sundara Radha, Shyam Sundara Radha, Shyam Sundara Radha. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Shila Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Shila Prabhupada. Gaura Premanandi, Hari 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 Bol. So my dear devotees, about what this was about, the mental culture of Krishna consciousness. We took a few deliberations in the beginning. That is, one should in the beginning
engage in Shravandasha, the stage of hearing, by constantly, a lot, hearing the transcendental holy names of Krishna, and everything else. One really accepts this, and this means it comes in the mind. It comes also in the subconscious mind, where all these impressions from previous lifetimes bubble and fester and come to the surface. No? And then one comes to Smarana Vasta, the stage of remembrance. Now, Prabhupada here says that first remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted at intervals. Perhaps you have seen that when you tried, no? I was always thinking about the chakra of which Krishna's footprint left on the in the dust and the lotus. I had prompted myself, and then I was distracted. I wonder if anyone does anything of what I say here. Then again, lotus flower and chakra was in there. Then again, oh my God, I have not eaten anything since the whole day. But I can't eat anything. I'm still ill from yesterday. Chakra and lotus flower came then again. and intervals, no? But as you practice this, it's a practice, my dear devotees, and it's not easy for us because we live in a narrative and a story that is told all over. We come, just join the movement and you will go back to Godhead. That's the story in which we live, and it's not correct. It's not found in any shastras. It's not found in what Prabhupada says. If you study the entirety of the teachings, but religious people like to see things simple and no endeavor, no nothing new. Please, nothing new, sahajiya. And we have all defense mechanisms up, so it's not so easy to follow to go into the culture. It requires deliberation. It requires to think, what do you want your aim in life to be? Where would you like to be at the time when your cobra comes and bites you, the snake of death, which is going through all the planetary systems? No? Yes. And then it will be good. I think you all come to the Govardhan retreats to hear about Krishna and to then think about Krishna. So you are a wonderful audience for this. And I wish you all success on your own path in Krishna consciousness. So this was the fourth lecture. Tomorrow, the surprise lecture. Thank you very much. Let us secretly look at the wrist. Oh, we are a little over time, so there is no time for questions and answers. But tomorrow I will be very careful to make time. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Krishna. Oh, yes. Krishna, yes, we have prompts. There is Prahlad for you. Please, everyone, just look at the screen there, over there. Something will come up soon. How can I learn and do verse meditations? That is something I would like you to reflect on. For a while, just please. I know I'm late. It's my mistake. So how can I learn and do verse meditations? No, this is something we heard about. We saw this is a part of the Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition. Mahaprabhu does this all the time. And the second question: which verses? I give you a clue. Do you know when we greet the deities, Prabhupada made it that we sing two verses. Have you? Do you remember the verses? Venum kanvantam aravinda. It talks about Krishna, the flute player who is lotus eyes. We do this. And the other second verse, Angani yasya sagalendriya, no? Where we hear about Krishna's transcendental body and what he can do. It's interesting to note that these two verses in the Sandarbhas are told, Jiva says, this is how we should meditate about Krishna. And Prabhupada put this in his genius every morning in. So please make yourself familiar with what the verses mean, and then perhaps explore them further, and then you can start your remembrance of Krishna with these two verses or other verses. Hare Krishna.